Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
It's a county building, but it's on land that's subleased by the city to the county. So my understanding and talking to our legal folks, and I think the mayor can probably shed some additional insight on that next week, is that the city certainly does have at least some type of say of what happens on that, have some input on what happens on that property that they subleased to the county.
David Stafford, of course, used to be the election supervisor in Escambia County. He was the chief of staff for Joe Scarborough in Congress, and he had gone to work for CISA, the Center for Information Security Agency, and now, I think that's what the acronym is, if I remember right. Anyway, now, of course, he's back working as the city administrator for D.C. Reeves, number two on the power list for NWeekly. Congratulations, D.C. Congratulations to Chip being named number one. Anyway, and he's talking about the Bay Center, because the question got asked about the surveys that have been sent out to people to get their input on what they like for the Bay Center or in that surrounding area. And that survey had been extended, I guess, because of some logistical mistakes. But in any case, he was asked, well, why are you bothering to survey people about the Bay Center? That belongs to the county. And the simple answer would be, well, yeah, but it's a pretty important property and it affects a lot of things around it. And certainly the city is a big partner in anything that's going to happen near and around the Bay Center, et cetera. You could have said that, but instead he says, well, it's county property, but it's kind of a sublease from the city. We own the land. Oh, do tell. Say more, sir. He didn't. So we'll have to ask DC about that next week. But that complicates everything, right? Because if it's true, I do not know the facts. I want to know more of the facts. All I know is what David said, which is that there's some kind of ownership relationship where the county owns the Bay Center, but the city apparently owns the land it's on and therefore the sublease. And that would mean the city would have some say in things like how you develop that land, how you redevelop that land, how you do anything within the confines of the sublease that apparently this is. So I'm fascinated by how this is going to play out, because now the city is not just an interested party. They are an ownership invested party, right? Which I don't know if that'll make any difference at all or not, but I am very curious to see what that means. What else do we have going on? No, I'm not going to do that. What was the other thing that I was going to play for you? No, not that. In the county commission meeting yesterday, we got a piece of news about the widely loved and universally admired Perdido Key Roundabout. I'll be honest, I don't mind it. It doesn't bother me. I'm fine with roundabouts, but I know the people there just hate it. And people have had just dickens of a time. I'm sorry for my language.
What?
People running through the middle of it, can't stop, can't figure it out. It's amazing to me how much people don't understand roundabouts. Well, the question of whether to take it out, put a light, put a stop sign, build it bigger, what to do, Steve Stroberger.
I am gonna fix it. Now, someone sent me an email recently, said that I lied about demoing it. I never said I was going to demo that roundabout. I wanted more information. And I've ridden out there with Tony Tampery, and he's convinced me that we need to keep the roundabout now, because we're going to actually need one later, but we need a better one. So we're going to improve that roundabout. That's my plan.
Okay. So I don't know what that means exactly.
We're going to make it like six lanes, kind of like in England.
I will tell you, it is a little bit funny to me how Americans, at least Floridians, or at least Pensacolians, seem to struggle with the roundabout concept. And I'm just telling you that everybody in the rest of the world figures this out. And in fact, if you've ever seen, say, you know, at in Paris or in London or in, goodness, Bangladesh. You know, I mean, people figure out roundabouts that have room for 16 cars wide and no traffic lanes, and they still manage to figure it out. And here we are with yield signs and single lane markers, and we're like, ah, it's too much for me. I mean, it's not the biggest moment for bragging about being American, you know. But then again, if we're honest, you pretty much, you might as well get a driver's license in a vending machine these days, right? I mean, it is so easy to get, whereas in the rest of the world, not necessarily, you know, Asia, but in Europe particularly, it is hard to get a driver's license. So you only have fairly skilled drivers on the road. In America, can you see? Well, one eye is good enough. Do you know the rules of the road? 50's passing. Not quite that bad, but you and I both know there's a lot of people driving around that should not be. Not just because they do not have licenses. That's its own problem. But even the people who do have licenses and you think, learn how to drive. I never had to. You know,
never had to.
John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Knox Pest Control. Their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, you can visit knoxpest.com. Knox knocks them out. Still rolling accident-free right now. But if you're on, never mind, that cleared up. We're good. Woo-hoo. And no delays either. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. Add more road to your trip during the Subaru A Lot to Love event with a new 2026 Subaru Crosstrek or Forester Hybrid. Our new hybrids will keep you going no matter where the road goes. With up to 597 miles per tank, the Crosstrek Hybrid easily takes you to more places. And the Forester Hybrid sports a driving range of up to 581 miles per tank. Mileage like that lets you journey farther, and combined with Subaru's capable standard symmetrical all-wheel drive, you'll be able to handle any unexpected terrain with ease. Paved roads, graveled roads, just about any road. They're no match for the new Subaru hybrids. Get your Subaru Crosstrek Hybrid or the Subaru Forester Hybrid during the Subaru Lot to Love event. Love goes the extra mile at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Driving range is based on EPA estimated combined fuel economy and a full tank of fuel. Actual mileage and range may vary.
Ladies, join us to be the impact in 2026. I'm Martha Holden, president of Impact 100 Pensacola, a women's organization that has given over $18 million to nonprofits right here. Meet other members and hear about the impact our funding has made at meet and mingle sessions through mid-February. Women 18 and older are invited to join us by March 1st. For details, check us out on Facebook or visit impact100pensacola.org. That's impact100pensacola.org.
There's no championship league for small business owners. But if there was, you'd be at the top of the standings. Because going pro with Lenovo Pro means you've got the winning formation, one-on-one advice, IT solutions, and customized hardware powered by Intel Core Ultra processors help you stay ahead of the competition. Business goes pro with Lenovo Pro. Sign up for free at Lenovo.com/pro. Lenovo.
Greater Pensacola's leaders are in the tallest buildings and smallest shops, and they come together here to drive growth in innovation, to bridge industries, to share fresh ideas, and to understand how they can play a part in Greater Pensacola's success. The Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. We believe local businesses are the cornerstone of a great community.
You're not looking for an argument. You just want to know what's going on.
And that's a good thing.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for the Environmental Protection Agency Administrator Lee Zeldin, who has now officially rescinded the 2009 endangerment finding for greenhouse gas emissions. This was the ruling that allowed the EPA to apply the Clean Air Act's authority against car manufacturers and require monitoring and reduction of tailpipe emissions of carbon dioxide, methane, nitrous oxide, hydrofluorocarbons, perfluorocarbons, and sulfur hexafluoride on motor vehicles. Well, as we long feared, Zeldin has now reversed the finding, making it legal for car and truck companies to ignore planet-killing gases and essential planet-saving measures like fuel economy standards. Look, obviously this is a terrible day for Gaia-fearing people everywhere, because this can only accelerate the now seemingly inevitable climate apocalypse coming to a subdivision near you. But there is one particular element of this change that we find especially offensive: the loss of the stop-start feature on new cars. Years ago, because of the importance of incentivizing car companies to make their cars less greenhouse gas belchy, someone dreamed up the idea of stopping car engines at red lights, theoretically eliminating the creation of greenhouse gases while idling. So the EPA offered an off-cycle credit, rewarding companies that installed this unproven feature in their automobiles, and engines across the fruited plain began turning off every time someone stopped the car, only starting again when they pressed the gas. Even though there was no real evidence that this actually had much impact on emissions, and plenty of evidence over time that it was bad for car maintenance, the program continued. And although almost every driver hated this feature, those of us who follow the holy religion of wokeism recognize this as wonderful technology. A good religion is all about the little things, especially the small, meaningless ways we can remind ourselves that we are better than other people because we endure inconveniences for the sake of our beliefs. It's especially saintly for such sacrifices to have a public-facing element so that we can show our devotion to other people, what we call virtue signaling. They hear us turn off our cars every time we do so. Well, much like recycling, the stop-start feature allowed us to feel good about ourselves, show our goodness to others, and continue to reinforce our participation in the holy orders of climate change opposition. But now Zeldin has taken away the incentive for this widely despised feature, and we can assume it will disappear from new vehicles soon. It's a sad loss of something whose lack of effectiveness made it the perfect virtue signal. It inconvenienced us and reminded us how bad carbon dioxide is and how wicked our own internal combustion engine vehicles were, with no real benefit to the planet, making it an almost perfect act of self-congratulatory penance. A truly upsetting loss for generating feelings of personal superiority. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, Florida State Representatives Deborah Tendrich and Chase Tremont for getting their atrocious new bill passed by the entire Florida House with a 92-14 vote. HB 31, entitled A Bill Recognizing Judea and Samaria, requires that all official documents of the state of Florida will no longer refer to the West Bank portion of Israel inhabited by the Palestinians on the west side of the Jordan River. Instead, that region will now be referred to by the biblical names of Judea and Samaria. I know, barbaric, right? Of course, this purely Zionist bill is designed to delegitimize the rightful connection to and ownership of that land by the Palestinian people who currently occupy it, and to reinforce the idea that the entire area west of the Jordan is part of historical Israel and not Palestinian territory. In fact, this bill echoes a move by the Israeli Knesset last year, essentially doing the same thing for all official documents and correspondence in Israel. Now, I know for some of you it might seem strange that we would oppose a name change, since renaming things is one of the four most popular sacraments of our religion. And yes, sometimes we even embrace a name change we dislike only because it favors the overall practice of changing names and separating people from their historical reference points. And that's the problem here. Calling the West Bank Judea and Samaria has the net effect of reminding people of their history and the additional effect of reinforcing the notion that this land all belongs to the Jews. Moreover, even though we usually celebrate ethnic groups and their efforts to reclaim their language and land and culture from the appropriators, because Jews don't count as a legitimate race or ethnicity to us, there's nothing wrong with doing this, and there's nothing right about letting them reclaim it. Palestinians, on the other hand, who are really just Arabs living in the wrong place, well, we do support them in anything they do. We call it Palestine instead of Israel because that makes it sound like it doesn't belong to the Jews, and we call the people Palestinians because it makes it sound like the land we invented a fake name for belongs to them. So to replace the term West Bank with Judea and Samaria only serves to make it seem like the Jewish nation actually has a right to own its own territory, or to exist at all. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, a brass tambourine with seven patchouli oil-drenched rainbow tassels for the unidentified Tumblr user who invented the term finsexual and used it enough that we are now all blessed by its familiarity in our lives. For the few of you who do not yet know the term, fin refers to being feminine in nature, and finsexuals are people who are attracted to anyone who scores highly on the femininity scale. In other words, rather than being attracted to members of a certain sex based on genitalia or a certain gender based on identity, finsexuals are attracted to anyone who presents as feminine. Within the finsexuality spectrum, of course, people may still have other preferences, such as one person who said, "I'm attracted to fin individuals, but I have a preference for those with female genitalia." In other words, man bits might not be a deal breaker, even if woman bits are preferred. It's the wrapping on the outside that matters, not merely what's inside the box. Our one problem with this definition is that historically the terms masculine and feminine have been used to reinforce the dominant gender norms of the patriarchy and to make men who do not have the supposed traits of masculinity feel inferior or less male, and the same for women. For instance, being feminine might involve being demure, soft, gentle, coy, supportive, adoring, flirty, graceful, empathetic, and so forth. Fashion and appearance all reinforce the concept, so having exotic eyelashes, applying makeup, having long hair, smelling like perfume, shaving legs and armpits, and wearing dresses or skirts and heels have been viewed as feminine. In contrast, masculinity means being strong, determined, accomplished, enduring pain, drinking alcohol for fun, being sexually aggressive and generally hairy, making a lot of money, refraining from too much display of emotion except over sports and loud noises like fireworks, jet engines, and gunfire, ignoring fashion, smelling well, manly, and also obviously not showing any fondness for musicals Taylor Swift or Quiche. But obviously, we don't agree that there even is such a thing as femininity, since all women are equally entitled to consider themselves fully feminine, no matter how masculine they are. Men, on the other hand, are only allowed to consider themselves either as belonging in the wicked category of toxically masculine, or else being healthy, you know, feminine. Now, clearly, if there is such a thing as finsexuality, there is also such a thing as minsexuality, masculine in nature, which means being attracted to masculine women as well as masculine men or even masculine non-binaries. And what we so vehemently love about all of this is the way it offers new and unexplored ways to confuse people about sexuality. The more flavors in the fruity rainbow, the better. Perhaps some people are attracted only to young-seeming or young-in-nature people, so we might say that Leonardo DiCaprio, Tom Cruise, and the recently deceased Robert Duvall are all yin-sexuals. Perhaps other people might be attracted to blondes, regardless of whether they're blonde men, blonde women, or blonde others. It's just the blonde hair that turns them on. And so we have blondesexuals and brunettesexuals and even gingersexuals, which is obviously everybody. Some people might even distinguish between hair color assigned at birth and hair color as identified now. And without wanting to dead hair color anybody, they might simply prefer so-called natural brunettes to trans brunettes. You could even have people attracted to thin or plump persons, thinnosexuals and plumposexuals. But of course, some people are technically overweight according to the body-shaming device of a scale, but identify as thin, and we don't want a dead BMI those persons. So a tinsexual would be someone who's attracted to those who present as thin in nature regardless of actual body shape, and pinsexuals might find people attractive who present as plump in nature even if they're technically thin. But you get the point. Our goal here is to make as many different terms, categories, distinctions, and inclusionary bits of utter nonsense as possible so that in the end, nobody knows what anything really means anymore. And just as obviously, we must now officially expand the holy acronym string to include these new additions. So, to our dear LGBTQ2SIA plus FMBGTP persons everywhere, we see you and we affirm you, even if we don't fully understand you. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, brethren, sisterin, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
827 here on News Radio 92.3. I always wonder in my head, the person who's just driving from, say, Texas to Gainesville.
Right.
And they happen to be coming through Pensacola on I-10, flipping through the channels, and they discover Brother Andrew's sermon at 8:25 or 6 on a random Friday morning.
What in the hell? What's going on there?
That's all right. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you or delays. Everything looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Today is the beginning of PensaCon, the great annual festival of geeks and nerds, and we love it. I'm a big fan as a member of the aforementioned class. Even Jeremy Evans, who's here in studio with me getting ready for the wrap, is also a proud member of the nerd class, right? The nerds run the world now. You know, it got to be cool finally, so we'll take it. All right, David Wayne, who is not a nerd? I don't think David.
Me?
I think you're not a nerd.
I'm not a nerd?
You think you're a nerd? It's a bragging point now?
Oh, well, I'm not bragging about it, but I definitely am.
Oh, okay. I didn't mean to offend or deny you your due. So what's the shape of your nerddom?
Well, I was a Trekkie at one point.
Oh, all right.
Which I think falls in. Well, I mean, I haven't watched in a while because there hasn't been anything, you know. Anything
so you're a
really...
former nerd. You're an ex-nerd.
A reformed nerd, maybe?
Nerd emeritus. Go on, what do you got?
Well, the Supreme Court may issue a decision on President Trump's tariff plan today. The case involves the International Emergency Economic Powers Act and whether it grants Trump the authority to levy tariffs. Trump previously said the Supreme Court tariffs case is life or death for our country. Governors are being hosted by the president for a bipartisan working breakfast at the White House this morning. Two Democrat governors, Wes Moore of Maryland and Jared Polis of Colorado, were disinvited to that event by the president. And possible criminal negligence is being investigated in California after the deadly avalanche near Lake Tahoe. At least 8 skiers died in that area, which has a history of dangerous avalanches. The skiers reportedly took an extremely dangerous route in an effort to escape. And now the Nevada County Sheriff's Office is looking to see if there was criminal negligence involved.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. I got a couple of texts in here. Somebody says, plumposexual at 825 is a lot to take. And then they said, what about nerdosexuals? Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the whole reason that people buy a Pensacon pass, right? They're hoping to meet some. I'll probably have to issue an apology for that one later.
Fox News, I'm Therese Crowley. A timeline for Iran.
I would think that would be enough time, 10, 15 days. Pretty much maximum.
President Trump says Iran's only option is to give up its nuclear program or bad things will happen. With the U.S. says Gerald R. Ford near the Strait of Gibraltar and hundreds of U.S. aircraft flying to the region, including aerial tankers and AWACS radar surveillance. President Trump orders Secretary of War Pete Hegseth to release Pentagon files on alien life and UFOs after former President Obama offhandedly told a podcast aliens are real, but there's none at Area 51. President Trump chided him for talking classified. England's former Prince Andrew released from custody, but possible charges for passing sensitive UK trade documents to Jeffrey Epstein threatens the reign of his brother, King Charles. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 73 degrees right now. It is partly cloudy here in the area. We'll get to our forecast. Brooke Richardson has that for us in just a few minutes. A man being questioned by Pensacola police about threats against two public officials has passed away. Police say the man was at their headquarters Wednesday when he complained of a medical problem. EMS was called. He was taken to a hospital where he died. Investigators say he was being questioned about alleged online threats against the police chief and the mayor. That man's identity has not been released. Former Perdido Key condo owner told the Escambia Board of Commissioners yesterday that she owned property there for 20 years back in the 80s and 90s and never knew that property extended to the mean high tide line. Diane Kremel, she said families used to use the beach in front of neighboring condos and, well, nobody complained.
But I want you to know that at no time in those 20 years did I ever know or even suspect that I owned that property down to the mean high tide line. There were so many times that we would go out there, family and friends, they would show up, and the kids, we would go out there and we would party. But let me tell you, we would start at that dune line and go down. But I lived in a small, the condo was a small 8-unit complex, so we didn't have a lot of, quote, beach frontage. But let me tell you what we did have. We had all the space on either side of us.
And current property owners say they maintain the beaches, pay taxes, and have a constitutional right to their land. Commissioner Steve Stroberger said he's working on alternatives to increase public beach access other than customary access. And no vote was ultimately taken on that issue yesterday. A man's dead after being shot by a deputy in Osceola County. That happened at a Walmart in Poinsett Anna yesterday. The sheriff's office said three men were shoplifting when a deputy confronted them and they ran. One apparently had a gun and was shot and killed. Deputies say the other two suspects fled the scene. So far, no arrests have been made. NASA celebrating a milestone in the Artemis II mission. A successful wet dress rehearsal was held at the Kennedy Space Center yesterday. More than 700,000 gallons of liquid propellant were loaded into the rocket. A closeout crew went to the launch pad to demonstrate closing the Orion spacecraft's hatches, and two runs of terminal count were completed. The Artemis II crew was able to watch part of that test from the Launch Control Center. The crew will enter quarantine late today in Houston before they take their trip around the moon, and so far no launch date has been set. Well, fans of Shark Tank will recognize a face at the State of the Union address next week. Senator Rick Scott announced yesterday he's invited Kevin O'Leary to attend the speech. Scott called O'Leary an entrepreneur, investor, author, TV personality, and of course said he's recognized globally for his roles on Shark Tank and other shows. But Scott also said Leary has been a longtime voice for economic growth in America. It's 8:35 at News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. That's Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. No accidents to report to you, and everything is flowing smoothly this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 forecast with Brooke Richardson.
We are going to be seeing temperatures warming up as we head into your afternoon near 76 degrees. 20% chance of a stray shower. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 64 degrees. For Friday, 70% chance of some showers, high near 77. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 66 degrees. Going into Saturday, 60% chance of rain, high near 77 degrees. And Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 53. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And it's 73, partly cloudy right now. Our next news in 30 minutes and breaking news anytime. Your money now this morning. Our markets are looking down here at the opening bell, at least mostly. The Dow is down about 0.3% at 49.24 right now. S&P down about 0.1% or so at 6,856. The NASDAQ, though, up not by much, only by just over 4 points at 22,687. Looking at that 10-year bond rate, not changed at all, 4.0% today, 4.07%. Gold prices are up $62.90, $5,060.30. The silver price is currently at $304, or up $304 at $80.67. And Bitcoin is up 162.87 at 67.172. Taking a look at our financial headlines today. A report from NASA says there was unprofessional behavior from some members of the Boeing team during the botched Starliner mission that left two astronauts stranded at the International Space Station for 9 months. Thursday, NASA Administrator Jared Isaacman released a 300-page report detailing technical and oversight failures behind Boeing Starliner's first crewed mission in 2024. Apple's facing a new lawsuit from the state of West Virginia over allegations that it failed to curb child sexual abuse materials on iOS devices and iCloud services. Republican West Virginia Attorney General John McCluskey filed the Consumer Protection Action and accused Apple of prioritizing privacy branding as well as its own business interests over child safety. It's 8:38. Our next news at 9, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Members of Congress, the President of the United States.
Tuesday night at 7 p.m., President Donald Trump will address a joint session of Congress to lay out his vision for his administration in the State of the Union address. News Radio 92.3 will have special coverage of the address, followed by the Democratic response. Hear it live on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Everybody jump, 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 jump.
I said a hip, hop, the hip, the hip, 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 hop, you don't stop.
Rap, 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 rap it up.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big sharp it up.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. It's an opportunity for me to have a couple of friends here in studio with me and talk with them about the news of the week. Jeremy Evans, of course, is a many times participant. This is actually episode 27 for you.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a lot.
That is a lot. And also, we have Todd Thompson with the Chamber. Todd, for some reason, Todd's only been here like three or four times.
Yeah, that's you always have great guests.
Complete. So. And then occasionally we have even better. See? No, but he periodically fills in for me when I'm gone. I don't know why we've only had you three or four times. That's weird. So I'll have to ask you more often. Apparently that's the issue.
I'd be honored.
I don't know. What do you want to start with? You just got back from Tallahassee. You were there with Northwest Florida Days and with LEAP, right? Both?
Yeah. So we were there with LEAP a few weeks ago.
Leadership Pensacola. Great organization.
Which deadline, if you want to be nominated for this year's class, is tomorrow. You can go to PensacolaChamber.com if you want to nominate yourself or someone who would be a good fit for Leadership Pensacola.
I will say, just a plug for that is the most valuable single thing I probably ever did in my 12 years here was being LEAP. It was incredibly useful for me.
Yeah.
And not so much because of the what I learned from it, but the who I met in the process and what that has burgeoned into in my career doing this and just, you know, social network. So I'm a huge fan of LEAP.
Yeah, you're going to have 50 professional friends here in Pensacola that are from all walks of life, all professions, and, you know, people tell me that they went through the program 20 years ago and they can call someone from their class and they'll answer immediately and help them with any problem they
have. That's 100% true.
That is a big benefit of the class, but you really get the behind-the-scenes look at our community and what makes it tick. So I highly recommend, if you haven't been nominated or haven't gone through it, to go to PensacolaChamber.com and get nominated.
Northwest Florida Days in Tallahassee is a showcase of the region kind of thing?
Right. So something we actually started at the Chamber about 6 years ago. Florida's Great Northwest took it on because they are a regional economic development agency, and they touch 13 counties west of Tallahassee. So we had representatives from every county, I believe, there, about 100 people at breakfast yesterday, and we had Senator Gates and Representative Salzman, Representative Andrade, Representative Maney, Griff Griffiths from Panama City, Shane Abbott from, I think he's from Calhoun or Liberty County, but just a great group that came and kind of shared what's going on during session. Obviously, they're talking about the budget. The Senate's doing the budget today. House did the budget yesterday, so they'll go to conference eventually, and we'll see what happens.
All right, very good. Sounds like, interesting. Did UWF, they were doing a day, too. Was that this week or?
That was, also.
Oh, same day.
Yesterday,
okay.
Yeah. Right, they had a reception in the evening, I believe, and they were touring the Capitol all day.
That's one of the things that I really like that Manny Diaz has said that he wants to do is raise the profile of UWF in Tallahassee. If you want to, you know, get funding, people have to know you exist, know who you are, and build relationships. And, you know, raising that profile is not something, you know, it's always kind of been this school over here in the edge of the, you know, the state. And he wants it to be the school over here in the edge of the state that Tallahassee's in love with, because then we can make things happen for his vision of the future. Pensacon is today, tomorrow, and Sunday. We were having some pretty funny offline conversations about I made some injudicious jokes, but it's okay. I love Pensacon. I'm a big nerd. I love all this stuff. I grew up reading science fiction and watching science fiction. And, you know, I think probably if anything has shaped my life more than the Bible, nothing shaped my life, I hope, more than the Bible, but I have been very heavily shaped by pop culture and science fiction over the years, reading Edgar Rice Burroughs and Isaac Asimov and watching Star Trek and Star Wars and all the things. You're a big fan, Jeremy.
Yeah, I think it, you know, and the great thing about Pensacon is this whole idea, you know, obviously there's San Diego Comic-Con, which is the holy grail of these kind of events, but you get outside of that, you look at a 500-mile radius from here. There's a pretty big one in Atlanta, and there's a pretty big one in Orlando, but we're bigger than what's in New Orleans, what's in Mobile, what's in any of these areas that Pensacon is a big deal.
Yeah.
Like, it really is a big deal, and people travel in from a great distance to come here because of the names of the people that you mean you look at the Star Trek Next Generation, Star Trek, Star Wars, like a lot of those mainline folks mm-hmm. have been here at one point or another. And I think it's, you know, a tremendous thing. And they're doing the Bay Center survey, which they've extended time because this conversation right. tends to always come up with Pensacon is how do we change all of that? I don't know that they ever get a great solution for them, but it would be great to see them have, I think with a bigger facility, a better facility, Pensacon, like the sky's the limit
without
on what it can
without the restraining
be.
Bolt on it, basically, yeah. what could it do? Yeah, I mean, the Pensacon has, like nothing else, demonstrated the inadequacy of the Bay Center for the real needs of this area. And, you know, what has been a conversation and is still not yet action, but what has been a conversation for a long time is how to accommodate larger groups, conventions, events, all of that stuff. Todd, I know you've been very involved in all of this. Pensacola Sports been very involved in all of this.
Right.
For people who may not know, I know Darren Schaefer from Visit has done a very good job of presenting the information, but we literally have groups want to come here and cannot because they're having a convention that is simply too big for us to handle with a single ballroom and, you know, the hotel space. What is the number? It's like 500 is kind of the break point, 600 somewhere in that vicinity.
For space in yes. our community, I mean, we do Pace Awards.
In the hotel, in the particular ballroom.
We do Pace Awards. We can get just over 300 people at the Hilton at the beach.
Okay, right.
In their ballroom. I mean, it's, yeah.
And that's tight.
That is squeezing everyone in. And, I mean, we get calls at the chamber from, you know, veterans groups who would love to do reunions here. And they're like, hey, we have 600 people. Well, sorry, we don't have anywhere
we
for you to do that.
It, yeah.
Mobile does a tremendous business expo every year, and we would love to do that. But again, you know, just the challenges of only having one facility, the Bay Center, where you could do that, and the competition that goes on with all the other things that are happening there and the cost, you know, it is so needed in our community that it would make such a big difference.
And I don't know that it's worth putting money into the Bay Center unless there's something that's done with the Grand Hotel.
You know, that's,
the two
that's
have to go hand in hand.
Well, and when they did the presentation at the county, that was, you know, what they said was everything we're presenting to you basically hangs on the possibility of building a brand new hotel on this footprint of the back lot.
Right.
We're not doing that. We're hoping to find somebody who is willing to do that on their dime, and we will have an arrangement with them for what we do with the entire property. Now, obviously, if the you know, Grand Hotel would, I mean, step out of the shroud of darkness of whatever the hell's happening there. Right. Nobody knows, really. Right. You know, it's been all these years, and we still know, but it's all, I mean, DC goes and talks to him periodically, and otherwise it's just rumor and hearsay, and it seems like nobody really knows. We'll come back to some of this in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by Princeton Grove Apartments in Crestview. New affordable housing, resort-style living. One-bedroom apartment starting at $799 per month. That's Princeton Grove Apartments in Crestview. Not seeing any accidents right now or delays. I-10, I-110, everything is flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
So that's, John, thanks so much. So back to Jeremy Evans and Todd Thompson. Jeremy, you make the comment that, you know, if only the Grand Hotel were available, all of a sudden everything kind of works. Everything opens. Now, I don't even know. Does the Grand Hotel have that kind of a ballroom space inside of it?
They have a pretty large ballroom space on the bottom floor, but I don't know if it's bigger than what's at the Hilton when it's fully opened up.
No, it's not. We've done events there in the past before it was damaged, and it's probably 160 people or so.
But okay,
so for rooms, yes. For the ballroom,
large event,
maybe
yeah.
not.
Yeah.
But, you know, you do. The sad thing is that bottom floor, the old train station of the Grand Hotel, is like another hook that you can get
right.
into somebody. Into, well, not only are we a hotel, but look at this awesome setting you have for mm-hmm. it. And it's just like dead money, sunk cost, just laying there.
Yeah. So do you, I mean, I've seen this conversation happen so many times. And the price tag keeps getting bigger, of course, because construction is more and more expensive. I do like that they seem to be a little focused more on, in the past, it always seemed to me like we were trying to do all the things in one building instead of recognizing that an athletic facility is not the same as an ice rink, is not the same as a ballroom, is not the same as a convention center. There might be some overlap and interchange between them, but recognizing that these are really all separate buildings. They really all need to be separate buildings.
Yes.
And we want them all. We may not be able to afford them all, and let's prioritize the ones that we want. What's your feel about it? I mean, do you feel like we actually are going to do this and spend the money and bond to whatever money, I mean, or not? Todd?
My guess is no. My guess is they just keep doing Band-Aid after Band-Aid after Band-Aid and spend more money in the long run, little bits at a time.
Failing to get big results.
And then that's kind of what we've done for 15 years, 20 years, and I kind of continue see them to continue to do that.
I mean, this would be a bigger project than the jail, right? We're talking $150 million, something like that, if I remember correctly.
The all-in for what they've proposed so far is, I think, $189 million,
okay.
Something like that.
And that's without the hotel. That's the hotel being done by somebody else.
Right. Yeah. So I'm a little more optimistic than Jeremy. I think we're at a point where, you know, everybody wants to see something happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I'm cautiously optimistic that we can get there. And, you know, the study that the city's doing kind of looks at the surrounding areas. And I think that's good because, you know, you've got the Florida West Tech Park, quote unquote, property right across the street from there that, you know, there's been some conversation around that, but that's been dormant for a long time. Can you incorporate that into what's happening with, you know, potentially at the Bay Center and the parking lot that's there now?
Right.
But I think the desire is there. I mean, I think it's going to take a community effort to kind of help push. And you know, at the chamber, this is something we're monitoring very closely, and
I'm
we're
sure.
going to weigh in, you know, once we get some more information and kind of see what is possible. But I think, you know, we need to hold people's feet to the fire and get something done.
And, you know, what we haven't mentioned even yet is obviously the parking issue, because if you take away the back lot for parking and you actually need to increase parking net, now you've got to overcome what you destroyed and add new anyway. And parking is ridiculously expensive. I mean, unbelievable. You know, if you're building a structure, it's like $30,000 or $40,000 a space. If you're building on the surface, well, where are you going to put that? You know,
right.
we just don't have the room for it. So, you know, there are a lot of challenges associated with this. And yeah, I'm with you. It's hard to be optimistic because I've seen it not get anywhere for so long. There's clearly a hefty push on, you know, to make it happen. And I think if we could just get over the eating the cost over the years, it would be a great thing. And, I mean, you know, Pensacon kind of proves the point, and I think we'd see all kinds of other things come with it as well. Want to talk a little bit about – well, I mean, you guys tell me. I don't know. Customary use has been a big deal. Again, the county kind of punted. Stephen Berry says, let's have Allison Rogers talk with us each individual offline and figure out what we can come to an agreement about and get together and vote. That's a weird answer, but clearly the district commissioner doesn't want it. Steve Storberger is adamantly against. They usually defer to the in-district commissioner, and it's weird that such a clearly Perdido issue is something that apparently Lumen and Stephen are willing to overrule him on. Ashley's with him, and we don't know where Mike is. He wasn't at the meeting, but it'd be weird to have the other members impose on that. I mean, I don't know. Am I seeing this the wrong way?
Yeah, I mean, that. You know, you're right. Typically, they do defer to the commissioner. You know, if there's an issue in their district, they'll typically defer to their position. But it is –
especially because it's there. Those are the voters he's accountable to.
Yeah, yeah. And, it, I mean, it's such a kind of unique – issue. I mean, we're, you know, talking about property, private property, public property. What is it? You know, if somebody paid for this, you know, are they going to be compensated if you're making it public?
I think it's a taking.
Yeah. I mean,
if you create an easement, you owe.
Right.
You know, or you can take the property and then they don't have to pay the property tax. I mean, there's lots of alternatives, but I don't think they're willing to sell.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So.
But I think your average citizen looks at it, it's like, what's the beach? The beach, anybody can go on the beach.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of
see,
just the perception.
You know, it's funny. I didn't live, you know, and I'm not from here. Okay. So, but I never assumed that beachfront property was someplace I could just go to. I always assumed that, well, if it's not available, then people own it and they have a house there and that's theirs. You know, that idea of like, there's waterfront property, there's lakefront property. So I don't have that instinct that says, God, that's mine. How dare you? Because I just think it's private property like any other private property. But, you know, I know a lot of people disagree with me about that. Jeremy?
I mean, I think the whole beach property thing is kind of over the past 15 years has just been a long, strange Pensacola conversation or Florida conversation.
Yeah,
about
we see what's happening in Walton,
and
it's been utter chaos over there, too.
Yeah, and it is. I think that the beach is a great natural resource that should be accessible to all people. I don't see a ton of what's happening here that was happening like in Walton County, where large swaths of the beach were unavailable to the public. So I think it's two different things, even though you're talking about hefty, lofty principles on what is and what isn't. I think it's far more interesting, just like you said, like the political side of things and what's happening behind the scenes and why things that are happening are interesting. But the Escambia County County Commission is always interesting to watch and see.
Just when you think the drama went across the water to Santa Rosa, managed to find a way to bring it on back. it's kind of it's a silly story, but it's not a silly story. We talked earlier about the AI cafe. That's Todd laughing. People are, and it's only a small pilot thing to begin with, but people are literally going into a bar or cafe that has tables for singles only, where you go and you sit down and you order a meal or a drink and you have a date with AI. You can bring your own on your phone. There's little holders for the phones or the tablets. I suppose you can. It sounds like you can also rent an AI for the moment, you know, like a escort AI. Just the whole thing to me is really, it encapsulates where we are as not just, you know, a society, but as like a species, where we're struggling with maintaining real relationships and outdoor activities and physical health and psychological health. Meanwhile, technology seems to be replacing all of it, and I just don't know where to go. I'll get your comments in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents or delays to let you know about. Everything looks good this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
So Todd is an expert in relational AI.
Let me get Lloyd Richard. To me, you know, you're talking about CivicCon or PenceCon and everything happened this week. It's like, you know, that was stuff we saw in movies 20, 30 years ago, and now it's reality. To me, it's just bizarre. Like going on a date with,
like with a human, real way.
That's normal. To me, going on a date with an image or a, you know, projection or whatever it might look like. I don't even know what this looks like. So I'm just trying to, you know, wrap my brain around it. That's just, I don't know.
The study says that as many as a quarter of Americans have been in somehow or other on a romantic encounter with an AI of some sort or another.
It's all strange. It's all weird. I think that it is, like, part of me is like, you're getting these folks out of the house. You're getting them in public.
They're practicing interaction. They're socializing.
They're getting some vitamin D from the sun.
Yeah, that's good.
I saw a news story that's different but similar. In Japan, there is a whole career of people, typically young women, men that just don't leave the house, like adult sons who stay in their parents' house. They don't leave the house. And these people come in to try to build their self-confidence to get them to just go outside of their house.
Wow.
And
there was a movie. Jennifer Lawrence was in a movie that was sort of vaguely like this. Okay.
You have AIs and you have all of the things and you have remote work and we have a world in which people don't live their home, don't leave their house. So if this is happening and we're bringing it into the, you know, out into the public and getting people out into society, weird, but I think there could be some positives to it. Unfortunately, I have not been in the position where I've ever had a relationship with an AI.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Would Jacqueline consider that cheating?
She would.
Absolutely. My wife. Absolutely. Of course. Oh. Now, you bring up a point, though. Like, we know that younger folks struggle with the phone. They struggle with conversations, looking people in the eye. They, you know, even the sheriff last week, Sheriff Bob Johnson, said he's got deputies that would rather text you your Miranda rights. Like, you know, that's the norm. There's less and less exposure to real people and the experience of dealing with them in real time.
16-year-olds don't want driver's license.
Right. What's the bizarre point? So maybe if this becomes less of the lurid alternative to real life and more of the, you know, educational opportunity to get people to learn how to interact with other people. You know, you go on a few fake dates and finally you might work up the confidence to go on a regular date. You have a few fake friends. You might wind up learning how to meet a real person. You know, the danger is, of course, that the fake replaces the real, but maybe it's rehabilitative or something.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of, anytime that you bring a group of people who maybe are socially adverse into any type of social setting, social surrounding, I see that as a win. But it's also a different times it's, now yeah. than what.
It's weirdly de-shaming something really quite bizarre, and also maybe validating something that could be useful
yeah.
for some people at the same time. I don't know how you get the somebody texted earlier and said, this would be great for when you want to play Dungeons and Dragons, but you've only got two friends and you want a large party. Have like five AIs and the AI can yeah, role play yeah, and yeah, you know yeah. do the thing and. Yeah.
You make it sound like that's not happening right
oh,
now.
Oh, no, I'm sure that's been happening, you know, for the kids who know how to do this. I'm yeah. sure that, yeah. you know, it's three humans and four tablets, and we're storming the castle.
Yeah. We are not incorporating this into any chamber events anytime soon, all right? You're going to have to show up.
Well, I still, you know, I know we're kind of belaboring this, but I still could not believe when people were telling me that when you go into, like, the Pen Air, and it's six yeah. digital tellers and no humans.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What in? No. No.
Right.
Oh, well. All right. Well, Jeremy, thanks so much for the yeah. time. Todd Thompson, thanks so much for the time. Todd's the present CEO for the Chamber. Jeremy Evans has done a lot of things, but he's just a friend and a many times participant. Guys, have a great weekend. Go USA. Let's finish strong in the Olympics. Either of you guys watch the Olympics? We're totally out of time, but are you Olympics?
I'm definitely not watching the curling while we're talking here.
Touch it with your
Local
finger,
Canada. 5 to 9.